Is McDonald's getting rid of the Big Mac? Did a high school student in New York make over $70 million in the stock market? Well, the answers are no and no, but both of those stories went viral recently. Stories like that show up on our social media pages, or they arrive in our inboxes. They might be shared by friends. Something outrageous, something funny, or something just too good to be true.
And that leaves us trying to figure out what is true. And it's not just our friends. Sometimes even journalists get sucked in and share stories that turn out to be, well, non-existent. And once that rumor or story starts making the rounds and goes viral, there's no taking it back.
Our next guest is looking to change all of that. His new project, The Emergent Website, aims to track online rumors in real time and then confirm or deny them as quickly as possible.
Craig Silverman joins us now. He's a fellow at Columbia University's Toe Center for Digital Media. He works with the Poynter Institute. He's the author of the book and blog titled Regret the Error and founder of Emergent.info. Craig, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the why. Why take on this tall order to, in effect, fact check the internet?
Well, I think it is a tall order, but at the same time, the average person, they see stuff on Facebook, they see stuff on Twitter, in their email, as you mentioned, and it's really, they're not sure about whether it's true or not. And sometimes we take action based on things we see and read and hear that turn out to not be true. And so I think it's really, really important in an interconnected society where information travels so quickly that we can try and match the speed of information with an element of quality to it. So, you know, I've been working on accuracy in journalism for about a decade, and this problem is arguably a much bigger one and a harder one to tackle, but certainly worthwhile.
So what kind of stories make the cuts to get the emergent treatment?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the ones that I'm working on today that people might have seen is there have been a lot of stories just over the last 24 hours or even less than that claiming that the president of Argentina became the adopted godmother of a boy in Argentina. And this was done to prevent him from becoming a werewolf.
I've seen that headline, yes.
So it's a very clickable headline. And the root of it, according to all these articles that have come out, is that, you know, there's a legend in Argentina that the seventh son born in a family, is likely to become a werewolf. Mm-hmm. And that there was even legislation on the books to try and counteract this legend. And so this is a story that started with the Jewish Telegraphic Agency a few days ago, but it's spread and it's been reported by a lot of very large websites. And just within the last few hours, The Guardian has come out with a report saying that, well, no, there's a tradition that the president of Argentina, you know, does a sort of ceremonial adoption of any seventh child born to a family. It has nothing to do with the werewolf legend. So this is something that has gone very far, been covered by a lot of places, and now we're starting to see other information emerge that really counteracts what everyone has probably already read and heard about it.
So where I'm seeing this, and this is a theme I know with the work you're doing, this isn't just something that my buddy is putting up on Facebook or, you know, it's showing up in my email inbox. Media outlets are picking up these stories, seeing them, and I guess pasting them in without confirming them, right?
Yeah, this is, and that's a big focus of the research that I've been doing at Columbia, where I've been looking at how news organizations deal with rumors and unverified claims. And so we created a database where we would identify, you know, a rumor that's out there that's being reported and re-reported by news outlets. And then we would sort of look at the stories and see, well, okay, you know, how are they treating this? And look over time to see when that rumor was confirmed or debunked, do these news organizations ever go back and update? And one thing that we see, which probably wouldn't surprise people, is that, of course, you know, once one news organization jumps on something, then you see a bunch of others come right, you know, quickly after it, and they, you know, all point back to that original one. So there isn't a lot of reporting and verification being done. It's a lot of what somebody once called journalism as an act of pointing. Hey, there's this thing over here, and we're going to tell you about it, but we're not actually going to, you know, add anything more to it.
So what's the media pressure on somebody, whether they're, you know, a traditional newspaper with a website or a web-only presence, to leap on that kind of clickbait story fast without worrying about whether it's true or not?
Yeah, I mean the incentives are to move very quickly because you're if you are early to it and you push it out through your social channels, the chances of you being the one to sort of dominate that story are greater. And the reward for that is traffic and attention. And that actually translates into dollars because, you know, the more traffic you have, the more you can charge for your ads. And so there's a very clear link between jumping on things early, trying to get it first and get all the attention for it, and actually, you know, potentially earning revenue or just seeing a lot of shares and a lot of traffic and attention from that, which are things that are valued inside news organizations. So, and of course, the other piece of it is an element of, well, other people are doing it too. You know, there's enough big websites out there that just jump on anything they can find that others see, well, they're having success doing that. Why don't we do that as well? And maybe we can get a little bit of that traffic. And so a lot of the incentives are making journalists move very quickly. You know, a lot of news sites are asking their journalists to produce as much content as possible, as quickly as possible. And so things like verification and making a couple phone calls and checking into them start to fall by the wayside when you can get lots of traffic if you jump on it quickly.
Now, I've been reading for years the website Snopes.com, which aims to debunk urban legends now that usually spread via email or now social media. What are you doing maybe that's different than what they've been doing?
Well, Snopes is fantastic, and I've been, you know, reading them for a long time as well. You know, they've been around, I believe, for about 20 years now. And so Snopes do the excellent work of, you know, something gets submitted to them. Maybe somebody saw something in their email or they see something online, and then Snopes will actually do the work that, you know, journalists should be doing, which is to track things back, to figure out, and then they make a determination based on that. So for me, one of the things we're doing with Emergent that's a little bit different is, you know, we're aggregating a lot of the news coverage that's being done and showing you what different sources are saying about a given claim. And we're often jumping on things, you know, when they are in that unverified stage, to almost put up kind of a caution flag to people to say, look, this is unverified, and we'll update it as true or false as things emerge. But we're trying to get in things a little bit earlier when you don't necessarily know what the truth is. And so that's one piece of it. The other is, of course, you know, I'm trying to spend a lot of time looking at these viral stories that go out there. Snopes also looks at, you know, email chains and things like that. So, I mean, I think that they're definitely complementary sites. And in truth, we really need more of them if we're actually going to be able to attack this problem.
Now, I gather you're hoping things change. What would you like to see from media outlets to, A, not reprint the false story, and B, to react when they have been hoodwinked?
Yeah, I mean, on the first piece of it, I think that news organizations are really squandering some of the value that's there. They're taking a lot of the a very short-term approach, saying, well, it's out there, let's just get it up as quickly as we can. My experience looking into these things is that if you actually spend sometimes as little as 5 minutes kind of poking around and seeing, well, where did this originate and who's claiming this, you can actually be the person to add some value and put new information out there, or even say, you know what, this isn't true and here's why. And there are certainly examples where you get a decent amount of traffic doing that. So I'd like to see, rather than instantly going to propagation, actually taking a little bit of time and seeing, well, can we add something to this story that's not out there? And I think that would be a great thing for news organizations to do, is to kind of counteract this, you know, just jump on anything that's out there strategy.
And if they have gotten it wrong, should they just disappear it and make it go away? Or what's the right media etiquette to say, hey, we got this thing wrong?
Yeah, I mean, there's a very long tradition, started in newspapers, obviously, of corrections, where if you get something wrong, you need to admit it publicly. And what's happened now in the digital environment is people can actually go in and they can kind of erase things from a story and republish it, and you'd never know what was there before. And that's dishonest and it's unethical. And so absolutely, if you're going to jump on the rumor, if you're going to put something out there, you absolutely have a responsibility to come back to it later on. And one of the things that was identified in the research, unfortunately, is that a lot of times news organizations are writing about things that are not, you know, verified yet. We don't know whether they're true or false. And they're writing about them with headlines that actually declare them to be true. And even if they go back a couple days later and update the body text, they sometimes leave the headline there.
Oh, no.
And so people are reading the headline and being told it's true and then getting the dissonance of the body text saying something else. And research that's out there says very clearly people retain the headline most of all.
Well, Craig, you've read a lot of stories that have turned out to be bunk. For us as consumers, can you give us some red flags or warning signs that we should maybe doubt the thing we're reading if it's on social media or maybe even in a legitimate outlet?
Yeah, so a couple things come to mind. The first one is that I see a lot of stories that start in, you know, another part of the world, and then they end up, you know, in North American outlets or British outlets, and it's an amazing story from China or from Romania or somewhere like that. And if there's this kind of language barrier and geographic barrier that this story has left, oftentimes there are things that get lost in translation, or it's sometimes just completely made up. So if it's a story, you know, that's centered in a foreign place in a foreign language, and it seems kind of incredible, you should be particularly cautious about that. The other one is just as you're reading news articles and seeing things that are out there, you want to ask yourself, well, what is the source of this actual item? And a lot of times what you see is they'll point to another news outlet, or they may not cite any particular source at all. Some of these stories just seem to be, you know, created out of nowhere. And so I'd really encourage people to ask the question of, well, where is this information coming from as they read it? And a lot of times that will tell you, well, okay, they haven't actually done any reporting here. They're pointing me somewhere else. And if you follow that back a little bit, you usually end up somewhere that the story might actually be different than the one you just read.
A lot of these stories spread because they're just, we want to believe them. You know, quote the X-Files, I want to believe. Do you ever get accused of being a killjoy when you debunk those?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is one of the things that I want to figure out better ways of doing is because, as you exactly what you just said, being the one who says, oh, you know what, that's not true, you're the spoil sport, you're the killjoy. And people actually, you know, they don't want to necessarily hear that. And we know from a lot of research, people, of course, are more likely to believe things that are in line with their pre-existing beliefs. And so it's actually completely ineffective a lot of the time to say, well, hey, that's not true if somebody is deeply invested in it. And so we need to find ways to make the debunkings just as appealing as you know, those amazing but false tales. And I think that's a pretty tall order.
We'll keep watching that. Craig, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Craig Silverman. He's founder of Emergent.info. We have a link to their fact-checking site on the Central Time Facebook page.